Hi everyone, this is Tracy Malone. Victims of abuse live with fear and uncertainty every day. So now during the pandemic, the fear and uncertainty is amplified and layered with the fears of survival, which we had already, but now we add on our health, our family's health, financial concerns, your job, how you're gonna pay the rent, and even insurance fears. It's coming up over our head. And especially our court systems are basically shut down. So hearings for spousal support or child support or divorce and custody hearings are canceled with absolutely no concrete plan for when they might be rescheduled. That is uncertainty. And it's terrifying. Victims are learning a new dance, however. During this time, it's the eggshell dance. As they are trapped at home, they're juggling a job if they're lucky. They're juggling homeschooling of their children. They're juggling living with a narcissist 24/7. And my heart goes out to you. It's not easy. And yet you're doing it. You're going to be fine. How do we get through these uncertain times? Today, my guest is the very best person to explain this to us. Tamma Keeves is the author of 5 books, and I'll introduce her a little bit more in a second. But 2 of the books we're going to talk about today, which is A Year Without Fear and Thriving Through Uncertainty. She's an expert in uncertainty. How cool is that? So let's welcome Tamma. We'll share a little bit more about her and we'll find out how we make it through these uncertain times. Welcome, Tamma. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
You know, I have a bio. Would you mind if I read it? Because I couldn't possibly cover all of these awesome things that you did.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so Tamma Keeves is an honor graduate of Harvard Law School, and she left her practice to help others create their most extraordinary lives. She's the best-selling author of This Time I Dance, Creating the Work You Love, and Inspired and Unstoppable, Wildly Succeeding in Your Life's Work, and A Year Without Fear, 365 Days of Magnificence, and her most recent book, Thriving Through Uncertainty, Moving Beyond Fear of the Unknown and Making Change Work for You. She's been featured in USA Today, ABC News, Success Magazine, Forbes, Huffington Post, Oprah Radio, and now on our channel. She's sought after speaker and a visionary success coach. She's helped thousands of people worldwide discover and launch and thrive in their life and their calling and businesses of their dreams. She has taught regularly at premier holistic venues, and she's done a TED Talk. I'm so proud. That's so cool. And we'll tell you how to reach Tamma in the end. So the reason that I have Tamma here on the screen, folks, is because you know how I love to go hunting for thrift store books. And not that your book was a thrift store book. Seriously, I believe that spirit brings me there when there's something I need to learn. Because I don't go there with an agenda going, let me find a book on the year without fear. I found this book and I fell in love with it. And I went to your website after about a month of reading these daily journal things that just inspired me every day. And I'm like, I've got to talk to this woman. And I went to your website and found that you were about to start a course in miracles right here in Denver. So yes. I brought some of my support group buddies and we took your 8 weeks in Denver, and the course in miracles was so powerful, and it really did help us all see things differently. So that's how I met Tamma, and now she's here to tell us about fear and uncertainty. And I want to open this up because in the beginning of your book, you said, what would your life be like if you didn't have fear? How does someone figure that out?
I think you feel it out, you know, just even letting yourself imagine, like, who would you be without fear? Or even thinking about a time when you didn't feel fear, or even thinking about a time when you loved something or you were excited about something and you felt your strength and you knew who you were, of that, I think innately we all know who we are. We all have this genius and this love inside us. And just even if you allowed yourself to imagine, who would I be if I didn't have fear? What would I be doing? What would I be thinking? Who would I be with? Because I believe who you are without fear is who you really are. Who you are without your fear is who you really are. That's your essence. That's your intelligence. That's who you're meant to be in this lifetime.
Yeah. And for our victims that are living with fear right now, this may seem like, how can I get rid of fear now? Because I'm in this whirlpool of crazy, right? They're trying to figure out how they will survive. And so there's a whole factor of uncertainty with everything that we're dealing with right now. But, you know, I know that you talk about you can't get over fear by focusing on the fear. You need to let go of the fear and focus on love. So love is the answer to fear. So what do you mean by that? Do they have to go back to their narcissist?
Did that sound like love? That did not sound like love. Go back to your narcissist.
And I know they're going to wonder, like, wait, it's like, you want me to go back? Love them? What?
No. I said love, not fear, right? And so, again, what happens for most of us is when we're in that tailspin of fear and we're in these concerns and we're, you know, your mind can go crazy, your agitation, your anxiety, your nervous system, and then you're stuck and you're restrained. And so for me, one of the techniques to get out of fear is not focus on the fear and try to solve it or solve the problem or be playing with an answer, but again, to focus on something you love, something that moves you. And when I say something you love, maybe it's your child, maybe it's your dog, maybe it's the garden, maybe it's, you know, I mean, anything. Maybe it's that you have creative instincts in you. Maybe you want to write, maybe you want to sing, you know, whatever it is. What I do know is that a lot of times we're so focused on our fears and we think we're being practical. You know, we think we're just being practical and, well, I have to figure this out and I have to know. And what I want you to know is that there's something deeper within you that does not have fear. There is something deeper within you that is whole and is strong and knows a way. And it's going to evolve moment by moment by moment. It's not all at once. So it's huge, right? When your mind is spinning and spinning and spinning, or you're scared or you're trying to solve the problem. The first thing I would say, even on a spiritual level, is what if right now, your life isn't as bad as you think it is. And I'm not saying that you need to stay there or not fix it or heal it, but maybe there's something in your present situation that is helping you build your strength even more, that's helping you get clear even more, or there's something that's going on. For me, I always have to approach my present life as saying, there's something here for me. Otherwise I'd go crazy, right? So again, that's one of the ways to focus on love.
Yeah. And that was very much part of our Course in Miracles, was to choose love over fear. And I know as you were describing people having other passions, in my world, how I explain it to people is, you know, if your brain is filled with all this fear and it's 100% fear, then you are not sleeping and you are stressed. And if you can just fill up a little bit more and a little bit more with things that you love, the fear gets smaller and smaller. Yes. And suddenly, yes, instead of fearing what your life would look like, you're actually living your life.
Yes. Right? Yes.
And that is the goal, is to turn the fear into something that you can manage and not let it control you so that you are under the covers all night long.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm scared.
And like what you were saying, Tracy, it's that, like, especially if someone has a creative instinct, you like to cook, you like to organize, you secretly want to start your own business, whatever it is. What I want people to know is those are holy instincts. There is so much talent and strength in those instincts. You know, when I wanted to write, you know, like, I kept thinking, oh my God, who am I? I couldn't do that. And like, what if I'm not good? And all these things that you think that stop you. But when I actually started to write, when I actually started to do it, it got me in touch with other capacities. It got me in touch with a strength that centered me and that started getting me in my natural confidence, because each of us has a gift. Each of us has a strength. And the more that you do that, it's going to get you connected to what's already inside you.
Absolutely. But I love the way you talk. It just relaxes me right there. But like, we know that people have to understand that fear is usually not something this moment. They're looking at things in the past or fearing something that is unknown, the future. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen. So I want to talk about like that sort of thing, how
yes,
manifests.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because all of fear is always exactly what you said. All of fear is always, I'm planning, I'm calculating, I'm thinking about the future, or I'm beating myself up about the past, and why didn't you do this, and why couldn't you do this? There's a concept in The Course in Miracles that I've always loved, and it's begin again, begin again. And it is this willingness to say, I'm going to begin in this moment. I'm not even going to be thinking about the past, the future, or anything. I'm going to begin in this moment and give myself another chance and another chance and another chance. And so again, for me, it's always about being present. And again, going back to that creativity thing, you know, if you're focused on something you love, you're in the present. You're in the present moment. And what happens for most people, you know, I have a concept in my new book, Thriving Through Uncertainty, where a lot of people are trying to figure their lives out, and, you know, plan it. And one of the things I always tell people is that you can't plan an inspired life. You're not going to plan this. You're not going to see it from your head. But what you can do is you can follow the breadcrumbs. There's going to be a breadcrumb, and then another breadcrumb, and then another breadcrumb. So if you find yourself trying to figure out your whole life all at once, or how this could ever work, or what could ever happen, I don't think we can do that. You know, an inspired life doesn't come that way. An inspired life doesn't come from planning it all at once, but there will be a breadcrumb. There will be one instinct of, right now, what could I do? And sometimes even what I could do might not even be an action. Sometimes it is an action. Like, well, if nothing else, I can organize my desk, which is, by the way, not something I'm doing, because if you saw this, you'd be horrified. But maybe it's that, maybe that next one step is a shift. Like, you know what? I want to learn how to meditate, or I want to learn how to forgive my sister, or whatever it is. It could be an inner shift. It doesn't have to be an action. But right now, if we were honest with ourselves, there's one breadcrumb. There's just one thought, like, well, right now, here's what I could do. Right now, if I were going to follow my heart, my genius, my love, here's what I could do. So it's a great way to get present.
Absolutely. And for me, a lot of the victims that we're talking about, survivors, the concept of making all these changes is overwhelming.
Yes. Because
they're just living in moment to moment of crazy. And so I always encourage them to seek that thing that fills their heart and take it very slowly, not expect the world to change, but go baby, baby, baby steps. Because if you plan a trip to Italy, mm-hmm. would look and do research and learn about it. Where do I want to go? What do I want to see? What do I want to do? This is how we should be planning our recovery. We should,
yes.
I want to learn about this, and not just what a red flag is and what a smear campaign is. We know that. Oh, personally, we don't want to know that.
Yes.
So open your heart up to learning and reading other books, other information. You know, thriving through uncertainty is going to help you have the tools to actually change something and work towards your goal. Just like we're working towards our trip in Italy, we are now working towards, if I could just take one baby step closer to that other life. And
yes.
I like to tell people to imagine it. So you were saying start again. It's sort of like, how do we know what we want to do? Well, think about it. What would you like to do?
Yes.
You need to write the story. You have the crayons, and you can say, I want to be this when I grow up. In my next chapter, I'm going to have a human as a partner. Whatever it is, draw the life.
And absolutely, like Tracy, what you're saying is so, so helpful, because, you know, a lot of times in my work, because I do a lot of, you know, career coaching and helping people figure out what's your dream, what's your calling, what are you here for, what's your dream? And everybody will say, but I don't know, I wish I knew, I just have no idea, which is so not true, by the way. But I remember I was in therapy years ago when I was a practicing attorney, and I was in therapy and I would tell my therapist, I don't know what I want to do with my life. I have no idea what to do. And he would say, well, you said you'd like to write. And I'd be like, yeah, but what am I going to do with my life? Because I'd completely discount that desire. I would completely dismiss it as, oh my God, that's pie in the sky. Oh my God, that's crazy. Oh my God, that could never happen. That would be insane to think I could have the thing I really want. So again, when people are saying, I don't know what I want, I don't know what I want. The reason we don't know what we want is because we're asking the wrong questions. We're often, you know, like I'll always say, let's ask the question of what lights you up? What would you love, right? And many people will say, but I am asking that. But really what they're asking is, what do I love that makes money? What do I like? What lights me up that my kids won't laugh at? What lights me up that I'm not too old for, right? There's all these conditions and all these conditions. So I'm going to just ask you, what lights you up? And maybe you don't even know yet because you haven't paid attention. And you're just going to start paying attention to, well, I know I like taking walks. I know I like the garden. You know, as a kid, I always dreamed X, right? But we always know what lights us up. We always know who we are inside. And it's a practice for the rest of your life to learn how to listen to it.
Absolutely. And think about what you just said. I just grabbed my pen and wrote it down. When you were talking to your therapist and you're like, well, I like to write, mm-hmm. but to you, Mrs. Harvard lawyer, what do you mean I'm going to give up my law business to do that? Talk about uncertainty. Talk about fear. I mean, you went up this trajectory and you're up here and now you're like, I think I'll write a book. Well, how will I survive? How will I, you know, the fear had to be overwhelming. How did you manage to start off writing books on fear? Is it your own personal experience? Can you share that with us?
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. Because to your point, you know, I had completely denied my desires, always. I had listened to everybody else, what everybody else thought, right? So when I was young, I knew I wanted to write. But my mother, I grew up in New York and my mother is Orthodox Jewish and I got, you know, you're going to write, you're going to starve, you're going to write, you know? And so that was it. That was what was for dinner. And so I immediately ignored my own instincts, right? And many of us do this. I ignored my own instincts. I listened to everybody else. I thought, okay, I'll go to law school. That's what you're supposed to do. I got accepted to Harvard Law School. I was on partnership track in a major law firm. And to your point about how to get past fear, part of it was I had ignored my own instincts for so long that I started to shut down and I started to experience depression. And I started to feel like, I don't even want to be here anymore. I don't know what I'm living for because I had success. It looked right. It looked appropriate. I'm sure a lot of victims can probably identify with that. Like my marriage outside looks good. The life looks good. But inside, it's like, I'm not me anymore. I don't even know who and what I am, right? And so that's what I was feeling. And so when people say, oh my God, you had so much courage. How did you leave? How did you leave? For me, it actually was an act of desperation. I don't even know that it was courage. It was just this pure desperation of, I am going to die if I stay here another minute more. And am I scared? Yeah, I am scared out of my freaking mind. I was terrified because I left without money. I left without a plan. I left without anything other than this secret little desire of, I think I'm born to write. I think I'm born to write. I think this is what's calling me. And I sure as hell know this isn't right. You know, what the life I was in. It was just and so I think that happens for a lot of people when we're not following our true instincts and we stay in it long enough, then it's almost like some part of us will just start shutting down. And at a certain point, you have nothing to lose anymore. Right. So I'm not saying you should wait till then. It would be good not to wait till then. There are many other options. But for me, that was one of the biggest ways that I handled fear was just it was more fearful to stay. And then, of course, that's become my life's work, because I'm here to help people listen to the love inside them and the instincts inside them, instead of these fears that we think of as practicality, that we think of as good judgment, when they are just denying your instincts, your soul, and everything you're here to be.
Absolutely. I love that story. I've heard it when we were in the Course in Miracles, and it has such a good correlation to my audience.
Yeah.
Like, they are stuck in a place and they might have stayed too long. It doesn't matter if it's a career or a marriage or even staying with your own family if they're cray cray, right? It doesn't matter. we have the keys to take a car and get away, but we have to cross that threshold of very much courage, very much bravery to say, this is not working. I've got to jump off the diving board and go make a change. And this might be your impetus, people. You're in an abusive relationship, and don't look at it as that was a failure. I'll never be loved again. Everything's bad. Look at it as a new chapter in your life. Mm-hmm. Every time we have our life, there's our high school and our this and our children, and this is the new chapter of your life. Mm. So you have to say, what do I want to do with it? And you have a thing that I quote, and you said, we're not looking for answers. We're looking for next steps. We don't need the solution right now. You don't have to go, what am I going to do? Ah, and you're in panic. What do I want to work towards? And take one baby step every day. And you'll start to feel that soul that was full of fear, and all of it get smaller and smaller, because all of the love of what you're doing now and the peaceful life that you'll be living is going to be there at your hands if you're willing to take it.
Plus the self-respect, you know, and the self-integrity of just taking a tiny step. Right? You don't have to change your whole life or everything. Just the tiniest step is going to give you that integrity or that sense of, I'm doing something for me. I'm honoring this. And to your point, Tracy, you said something really brilliant, I think, where you, when you were saying that, don't look at it as a failure. You know, don't look, if you leave a marriage or you walk out, to me, that is not a failure. I never look at, I'm a failed attorney. I don't look at it that way. I look at it as an evolution. Not only as an evolution, I evolved to this next thing. And not only that, some of the things that didn't work in our lives, if they really didn't work in our lives, they inform us, they infuse us, they ignite us. Absolutely. You will never choose that again, God willing. And if you do, just keep listening to Tracy. but just, you know, of again, that like sometimes I think we have to ignore ourselves enough to land in a situation that is so bad that we realize, oh my God, never again, not this. That's what's given me the motivation all these years. You know, I've been doing my career for decades now. And it's that, you know, people ask me, well, didn't you ever like miss, you know, what you had as an attorney, or didn't you ever miss this or that? And it's like, but I would always feel back and realize, but it wasn't me. It wasn't my soul. And I had to know that. I had to be in that level of pain to have that kind of impetus for change. So I agree with you. I thought that was a brilliant point of that. It's never a failure. You know, and I always tell people, you know, sometimes even when people like, you might need to downsize or lower your expenses, right? And your life doesn't look as good as it did before. And I'll always tell people, it's never a step back to step forward. It's never a step back to step forward. So if you're undoing a marriage or undoing a situation or undoing a career or losing weight or whatever you're doing, it's never a step backwards to step forward. If you're beginning again, that's it. That's all that matters.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a quote here that my therapist used to read me, or he'd say it. Now I'm going to read it. But it has very much to do with what we're talking about. It says, you don't know if you've been denied heaven or spared from hell. So while we're sitting here worrying, like, I'm giving up this, everything that I've lost in my marriage, in my house, my friends, my life, you don't know what lays ahead. Mm. Right? That was abuse. You were actually abused in your last life. You know, people come to me and say, well, when do I get back to normal? I wrote this in my book last week, and I'm like, let's define normal for a second, folks, because you were abused in that normal.
Yeah, let's not get back to that normal.
What do we want our new normal to look like, right? We're investing in all of this and we're making it happen.
And to that point, you know, there's a quote in A Course in Miracles. My mind always goes there.
And I love
about, that. About healing. And what healing is, it's exactly what you were just saying. What healing is, it's not about getting back to normal, right? It's not, even let's say right now, many of us are in the, you know, the COVID situation and you know, we're all wanting to get back to normal. But healing is not ever about getting back to normal. It's about expanding. Right? We're never meant to go back to that contracted place or to what we had before. This is a healing crisis or a healing opportunity to launch you into something else, into an expansion. So again, I don't think it's ever about going back to what we thought of as normal as much as it's evolution or expanding into what's a new normal now, because we're growing and we're accepting more for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I love that too. I know that in your book, you said, this change in our life is not happening to us. It's happening for us, right? We have to change the perspective. So can you talk a little bit about that, how we change it from fear to love? Because a normal statement that people hear in their head, if they had the tool to go, wait a second, you know, it's not happening to me. It's happening for me. This will help me. How do we change our thoughts from?
I mean, for me, it's a lifelong practice. So first of all, I do want people knowing that if they're listening to this thinking, oh God, I'd love to think like that, but like, I never think like that or whatever. And just so you know, I think like that and then I forget it. I think like that and then I forget it, right? So it's not like this is, oh, I read it in a book and I got it immediately, or I wrote a book and I got it immediately. This is a lifelong practice, and we're learning to use our minds in resourceful ways, right? That's a very different concept to say, this is happening for me, it's not happening to me. And one of the reasons I focus so much on that is because it gets my mind out of just being a victim, right? Out of just being a victim, feeling like, why is this happening? And why is this happening again? Into what can I do now? You know, like, what if this is for my benefit somehow? What if in my soul's growth, right? When I say benefit, it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, it's a great thing in my situation or condition at the moment, but it may be growing me, right? Again, the fact that my job, you know, I'll go back to that of being an attorney. And it was interesting because I also had an abusive boss. So that was also part of what helped me leave, right? And at the time I thought, why is this happening? Why do I have to have a horrible boss and blah, blah, blah. It was one of the best things that ever happened, right? Because God forbid it had been a little bit better, a little bit easier, I would have caved. I would have said, well, it's not perfect, but I'll make it work. Oh, it's not perfect, but I'll fit in this way, right? And so, you know, so again, it's if you just remind yourself, and again, you will forget this, I forget this, of that this is happening for me. Like even again, going back to COVID, let's say, right? Of, you know, like my business, a lot of it, as you know, is live. I travel all over the country and I speak and I do keynotes and I lead retreats and whatever. And so now we're in a virus where we're not traveling and there's no live events. And so I really had to look at that. Like, how is this happening for me, right? How could this be helpful? And so I really had to get honest and look at, well, what else could I be doing, right? So of course I'm doing way more online programs, which I've always wanted to do. And, you know, of just doing some more coaching, and I'm writing my new book. And so again, it just helped me change that mindset, because in the first mindset, I was scared. I was like, oh my God, this is terrible. This is awful. And you know, when you're scared, everything seems awful. And then it's like your mind just gets in that gate, you know, in that groove where it's like, oh my God, this is bad and that's bad, and I'm aging and my thighs and my this. I mean, like, I don't know about you, but my mind always goes there. And so it's always really helpful to, you know, that's why in all my books, they're mindset shifts. That's what they're really for. They're here to interrupt your thought, remind you who you really are, remind you what you can have. And so again, it's just really helpful to have one or two thoughts that you can interrupt yourself with and say, what would it be like if I thought like this? If I just tried it on, it may seem false at first. It may seem fake at first, right? But again, it's just a way of practicing.
I love that. This is, exactly what I've been, I have this workshop called Change the Story, where it's not find the love and the first is peer, but it really is. It's how to change something. And I'm from the East Coast. So when September 11th happened and we saw the visuals of New York, I mean, horrifying, will be imprinted on our brains forever. And as the COVID came and, you know, some of them watching know that I had it. I made a video or I sat there laying on the couch with this COVID, and the fear was overcoming. It was strangling me. And I had to look at it differently, because when I would look at the picture of Times Square, my heart would die. It flashed back. That's going.
Yeah.
Year came from September 11th. Remember, this happened, and oh my God, and you know, so many people died in our town. We were right next to New York, and it was so, all of it just came on top of me. And then, of course, will I die? Because I've got this, right? So when I look at that picture of New York Times Square, I can look at that and say, not, oh my God, the world is ending, but oh my God, thank God they're listening. They're not going out.
Thank God
that people are keeping us safe, and all the workers are out there doing everything that they can, no matter how scared they are.
Yes.
Think about the doctors that are out there on the street taking care of your mother when you can't. Don't think they don't have fear, but they're facing it every single day. And the uncertainty every day they walk into work is, how many people will die on my shift today? What will I have to do? Will I have to sit next to someone and do a FaceTime to say goodbye to their family with them? That's heart-wrenching, but they're doing it, right? They're facing that fear to save others. And now it's time for everyone who's listening to this to face their fears to help themselves. Because identifying what it is and then looking at it differently, just like that picture of Times Square. When I sat there on the couch and I thought of that, I went, wait a second. Tama taught me how to change this story, change this thing, and not look at the fear. So as soon as the fear, she said, it's going to be lifelong. We're not going to have fear. There's going to be fear and all kinds of crap that comes up. It's how we process it. And
absolutely.
How we go,
absolutely.
Wait, there's another way to look at this. There's a way to see love and see hope.
Yes.
And then that picture can't scare you anymore. It's the same thing with the boogeyman narcissist.
Yeah.
You anymore.
Amen. Well said. You is a good student. You're taking it. That's such a great example. And you know, one of the things I also want to say is sometimes fear, a lot of times fear is, we think we're being practical. We think we're being realist, but you got to be realistic. You've got to be, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, again, we're talking about your interpretation. Tracy wasn't talking about now, you know, like, oh, just ignore the situation, be in denial, pretend it doesn't exist, right? But you were talking about a resourceful way, like it filled your heart to say, instead of looking at the empty Times Square and saying, oh my God, the world is ending, it's like, oh my God, I can feel love because people are really, we're pulling together, we're doing this, we're, you know, we're being responsible. And so again, there's always another way to see a situation. There's always another way to see yourself, right? That's gonna empower you. Because one of the things we didn't mention that much, and I'm sure you do this in your work, but it's so integral in my work, is with fear and love is the relationship that we cultivate with ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, that the relationship we have with ourselves, probably the thing that I've learned more than anything else on this path, is I have to be kind to myself. I have to be loving to myself. I have to be gracious to myself so that I can take those baby steps. Because otherwise my fearful mind or my nagging mind will go, really, you're just going to take baby steps? Really, you're going to follow breadcrumbs now? You know? Oh, wow, they're going to follow breadcrumbs. How's that going to help, you know?
Like your mother, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. Only it's gotten worse. Now my mother got a Harvard Law degree in my head. And so we all have those damaging voices. And I think so much of uncertainty, you know, it's a lot of what I talk about in Thriving Through Uncertainty, is so much of uncertainty when there are so much that's unknown in the world, right? And there's so much you just don't have traditional answers and you don't have cookie cutter solutions. It's going to make you start listening to something extraordinary inside you. When there are no answers in the world, what I want you to do is to start listening to the answers that are in you. And to do that, it's again starting to cultivate this loving relationship with yourself. Because if you are judging yourself, you cannot hear inspiration. If you are judging yourself, you cannot hear guidance. Right? If you're judging yourself, you can't access your creativity. So it's a huge thing I've had to learn and continue to have to learn and continue to have to practice for the rest of my life, is that getting out of that self-judgment and that cruelty helps me become more empowered and to give my gifts and to show up the way I'm meant to show up.
Perfect. I was just pointing out, as you were saying that, I was going to hold up this turning points part of your book. It's in like all the chapters. There's just these beautiful things and inspirational things that are going to help you see things differently. It really will work. And educating and filling that fear bubble with more love and hope, it's going to get smaller. So I really want you guys to get these books. I'm going to put a link down below because they changed my life. For 365 days, I sat here and read the book, dog-eared it, stuck things in it, brought it to my support group, and read it whatever the day was. And it always helped. It always put like a smile on my face and hope in my heart. And I started the day, or ended it sometimes if I did it before I went to bed. And I just thought, I got this. I can do this. And fear is not going to take me down, even though it knocks at the door, especially when all of us are going through the uncertainty and the fear of narcissistic abuse, what will happen. But on the other side, here I am to tell you, there is another side. There is another chapter. We're going to write it, but it only gets started when you pick up crayon, right? You've got to start thinking, what do I want to do with my life, and work towards that. Is there anything else that you want to end with, a quote from your book or something you want to share with us?
Yeah, you know, I'll say one thing that I always love to share, and then I'd love to read that quote that we talked about with Thriving Through Uncertainty, because it's my favorite quote lately, even though I wrote it. It's like, I love my own writing. No.
Not a narcissist, I swear, guys.
Yeah, no. I was raised by one, so I know that element. And so the thing that I always love to encourage people to know is that your dreams and your ideas and your desires, they're not frivolous. You know, a lot of times we just don't take ourselves seriously. We think, oh, well, I'm too old, or I don't have an education, or, I could never write, or I could never, speak like Tracy, or I couldn't do this, or I couldn't do. And what I'm encouraging everybody who's listening to know is that if you have any kind of desire, to me, it's not frivolous. It's an instruction. It's a code in your being. I'll go so far as to say it's your divine code. It's a holy, there's something in you. It's your instinct. It's going to guide you everywhere. And we need your gifts and we need your dreams like never before. Because can you imagine if Tracy didn't follow what was inside her? You know, I mean, and all the people that she has affected and will affect, if I hadn't followed what was inside me and all the people that I've had the blessing to affect, right? And so each of us has this. And by the way, all of us don't start off thinking, I'm bold and fantastic, right? Most of us start off really quivering, right? So I always want to share that. I did want to share this one quote from Thriving Through Uncertainty, because I think it's really relevant to these times. If you have the book, it's in the introduction of the book, but it's just a quote. And the reason I'm reading this is because many of us, you may be listening to this and thinking, oh my God, this all sounds good, but could I do that? Could I really do that? I don't know that I could do that. And I think that we are being asked to rise and to choose what we may not have been able to choose before, to create lives that we've never created before. So I'm just going to read you this one quote. Yeah. This paragraph, and it says, you may feel like things are challenging at this moment in your life, but let's get this straight right now. It's not because you're failing or broken. It's because your spirit, demands soaring, not coping. It's your time. So I just wanted to give you that, of that. If it's challenging, it's because your spirit is demanding soaring, not coping. You're worth more than that. We don't need to cope with the normal and the as is. We're going to go somewhere else and we're going to soar, and it's your time.
Yeah, we have been spared, and we are not denied heaven, but we are given freedom to change and write our own new chapter. So thank you so much for being with me, Tama. We will put the link down to both of these books, which, guys, there's no way you should do without this book. And how can people find you? Because I know you do a lot of online stuff. My girlfriends and I, who were in the Course of Miracles in the fall, were talking the other night. We're like, we need it again.
Come on over, baby. I've been doing a lot of programs online now, obviously, and they've been amazing. The love that we're creating is amazing. First of all, I'm on all kinds of social media, right? Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff. But the best way is to connect with me at tamakeebs.com. And if you sign up, you get a free gift of how to move past fear, how to unleash your calling. And then also we do, you may know, we do these digital fortune cookies that come out. It's this great burst of a quote every week to keep you inspired. I do a lot of free events. I've been doing some writing events, creative writing events for $10. I mean, do all kinds of things and coaching. So I'd love to have you. My dearest work is to support people living their dreams, whatever that is.
Thank you so much. Can you hear the people howling outside my window? Because it's 8 p.m.
They're howling here too. Woohoo! It's Denver.
Yes, you know, at first I used to think it was all like coyotes. Nope, I can see their little heads when I go out on my porch. So
yes.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I am so blessed, and we are all so blessed to have had your wisdom here. There is a way around fear, guys, and we can get through this uncertain times, but you're going to have to take a baby step. And it's just a tiny little one. So
thank you for having me. And Tracy, thank you so much for your courage and your work and your voice, and for stepping up and being the light that you are in this world, and all the courage you've had to do that. Thank you so much. And for listeners, you know, you may think, oh, it must be easy for her. She's always had it together. And yeah, she is pretty phenomenal. But she's made these choices, and supporting her is pretty an amazing thing to do. So thank you so much, Tracy.
Thank you. How cool was that? I love that girl. I can't even tell you how much I learned from her, how much she inspired me, and how much the year in fear changed my life. I know she's off camera now, but I'm going to read you one that I had flagged. And it's actually September 11th, and I had it flagged because I read it to my support group. This is the kind of thing she has, that you read one little thing a day, and then you get this little inspirational thing here. It says, there will always be storms in life. The unpredictable will swoop onto your experience, knock out power lines and crush the daisies, cheat on you and threaten your dreams. But there is power within you that never wavers. Conditions do not create your spirit. Your spirit creates the experience and conditions. Today, I embrace storms, and I know that nothing can change my spirit. This is Tracy Malone. Thank you so much for watching this wonderful video. I've been waiting to speak with Tama for almost a year, and I'm so thankful that she was here at this uncertain time to help us learn. If you're struggling with fear, if you're struggling with uncertainty, I'll put the link to her book down below, and start to fill your head with love versus fear. Thank you, everyone. Visit my website, narcissistabusesupport.com. Thanks.